Greetings, my little oddities. Welcome to another episode of Odd Tuesdays. This is Monica Caraway from Small Biz Thoughts. Today, Carl is joined by SMB Nation's Harry Brelsford. Harry last joined us in our very first episode of Odd Tuesdays back in January. 16 episodes later, Harry and Carl will talk about what SMB Nation is up to ahead of their annual fall conference later this month. We will also be joined today by Amy Babinchek in our Oddball segment, and I'll be sharing some tech news brought to you by neowin.net. But first, upcoming tech events in and around the place with a very bustling September month. The Great Little Seminar online courses continue, with a new one starting up September 8th. This online course is entitled Managing Your Service Board Daily Procedures. Please visit greatlittleseminar.com for registration details. The GFI Max Partner Conference is on in Orlando September 8th through the 10th. Please visit conferences.gfimax.com for more information. The Channel Pro SMB Forum is on September 8th and 9th in Boston. Please visit channelproforum.com for the details. Robin Robbins Technology Marketing Toolkit is on September 9th through the 10th in LA, and in Boston September 18th and 19th, and again in Orlando September 30th and October 1st. More details can be found at itmarketingroadshow.com. The CompTIA Cloud Partners event is on September 8th through the 10th in New Orleans. Go to comptia.org/events for more information. The Eulistic MSP Workshop is on September 18th in Toronto, Ontario. Please visit eulistic.com for more information. The ASCII IT SMB Success Summit is on September 17th and 18th in Phoenix. Go to ASCIIevents.com to register. The SMB Nation Fall Conference is on September 26th to the 28th in Redmond, Washington. Go to smbnation.com for more details. Carl will be a featured speaker at the Fall Conference. As well, if you're heading to the SMB Nation Fall Conference, don't forget Carl's celebrating his 10th anniversary hosting his SMB Pre-Day show. That show will be held September 25th. Please visit smbpreday.com to register. And now, let's hand off to Carl and SMB Nation's Harry Brelsford.
Joining us now is Harry Brelsford from SMB Nation. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, give us an update on, first of all, I want to know what you've been doing all year, because, man, you have had a year. 100,000 miles worth of travel and, you know, going for a million.
It's been a busy year. I mean, there's been some core messages to communicate to the community that we had the long tail of Windows XP migrations. That deadline came and passed, and then people finally got motivated. To a large extent, that conversation's now pivoting over to the Server 03 migrations. And then I think another surprise, in my eyes, at least from the beginning of the year, is how strong Office 365 has come on. I mean, that, boy, Carl, since the beginning of the year till now, this thing is, I have a blog up today called Gold Rush. I mean, it's scary.
Such an Adela says it's their, like, biggest selling product ever and all that happy stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So that can be pretty, you know, for 6 months, much of it overseas with the 30-country tour, a little bit of Windows 8 and devices sprinkled in. I've been home for the summer, although, you know, it's funny how that passes, Carl, between WPC and CompTIA. I mean, not quite sure where summer went.
So in the fall, you've decided that Office 365 is going to be the primary focus.
Yep.
So tell us about how the fall conference looks compared to past years.
Yeah. Well, ironically, I'm actually coming to you from the Bell Harbor Conference Center, Carl. I needed to find a quiet place in downtown Seattle to speak with you. And I looked over to my right as I got off the ferry and I'm riding my bike to an appointment. There's the Bell Harbor Conference Center. Well, the bookend is that the Bell Harbor Conference Center was the 2008 conference, and that the theme of that was I would offer the official launch of Small Business Server 2008 because Microsoft blessed us and they had no other event. And it was right before the recession. You'll recall that in the eyes of many, that was the best SMB nation ever. And I think it was. But however, we have one coming up, and what makes it interesting is that I think we've always done better when we've had a theme that is contemporary. And so in 2008 with the SBS 08 launch, we're spot on. And I would kind of offer the same this year, that with Office 365 gaining the momentum it has, that this year is the year and forthcoming of 365. So we have made it a focus of the conference. It's not the only topic. I always have to kind of, you know, speak towards that. We have the extensive hybrid server conversation, both with sponsors and speakers. But does that answer your question that we picked our horse and we're going to ride it?
Right. So will this conference be back on the Redmond campus?
It is. It is. That's the other interesting thing as I stand here at Bell Harbor in 08, because we then moved to Las Vegas until this year. So we brought it home, and we did it for a couple of reasons. Vegas, Carl, been there, done that. And our customers said the same thing. Been there, done that. Thank you. Goodbye. And
right.
They'll go to Vegas for other reasons unknown to me. But we brought it home to the Microsoft campus, which everybody adores, that conference center. We get the world-class facilities and the catering and so on. And quite frankly, Carl, it's more serious. I think less fun, more buff. Doesn't quite rhyme, but.
Right. Well, and we might get a couple Microsoft folks to show up more easily there than in Vegas. So.
Yeah. Yeah, now the 365 dev team and the partner team and the product team and so on, they're engaged. And, Carl, it's kind of like the old days, the early days with SBS, when you worked side by side with the product managers. I mean, it's cool.
Right.
So
have they got anything going on around promotions or anything with Office 365 for the fall?
Yeah. I mean, one of the big themes – will be how to find this business. And so there's some obvious ways. One would be the Microsoft Community Connection events, which are, you know, typically lunch and learns or breakfast and learns, and you get the customer. So we're going to have a big emphasis on that. Carl, a lot of people maybe have heard of the Microsoft Community Connections, but not actually have signed up to do one. And we're going to incentivize with some prizes and toys to actually get you to sign up for one while you're there and enter your name in a drawing and so on. And it's only to your benefit to,
right,
you know, pick the Sacramento Chamber of Commerce to talk about either Server 03 migrations or 365, you know, investing forward. So that's kind of on the business side where Microsoft will go. And then on the technical side, yes, we'll have the team talking about a variety of topics and participating on some panels. But, you know, one surprise topic we just added, and again, I think it shows a little bit of the diversity of the conference, is Azure. So we're hearing that, you know, there is a relationship between Azure and 365, and people want to explore it. And Azure is not for the faint of heart. It's got some technical chops to it, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we developed some stuff on Azure, so it's pretty fun to work with. You know, the interesting thing is there's a ton of programmers out there that's where they live. I mean, you go to Odesk, you can find people who have 3,000 hours programming on Azure, you know, and it's like, okay, it's not like you have to fumble through this on your own.
No, that's right. And it's just really cool to see the competition between Amazon Web Services and Azure, and it's being fought out right here in my hometown. So let me tell you.
Yeah.
It's like having two pro football teams.
So what's the website where people can go to get started so that if they want to sign up for SME Nation Fall Conference, which is Office 365 Nation, where do they go for that?
Yeah, so the simple website is fall2014.smbnation.com. Now any of the following sites will get you there. So smbnation.com under events will get you there. And then our new sites, our new community, the Office 365 Nation community. Carl, that's o365nation.com.
All right. And then September 26, 7, 8, we're all in Redmond.
Yeah, exactly. We got the bike ride on the 29th on Bainbridge Island. That's at your expense, but we'll help you coordinate that. The annual bike ride, the 25th, some pre-day activities. And Carl, are you involved in those? I typically recall you get involved in some pre-day.
This is my 10th annual pre-day. So.
Oh, my.
Isn't that amazing? Just that it is shocking to me how you get up one day and you do something and then you do it again and again and again and pretty soon 10 years have gone by.
Yeah.
So it's an awesome thing, as is this is the 12th SMB Nation, right?
Yeah, it is.
You got to count on your fingers. You got to take your shoes off.
Yeah, same thing. And hey, Carl, one thing I wanted to highlight, in addition to the date, the time, the place, and the website and all that, but the couple of speeches that are just being posted up today, folks, so if you're taking a look, but we have Jen Reed, who's the author of Office 365 for Dummies, which is, by the way, it's quite a good book. So she's doing a presentation that's just getting posted up, and then we also have Ben Grauer. Now, Ben is very interesting. Ben is working with one of our platinum sponsors called Zenstra. It's sort of an advocate, an evangelist for their hybrid solution that hooks 365. And quite frankly, I feel kind of behaves a little bit like SBS. But more importantly, the point I want to make is Ben is kind of he's the man in the UK in terms of 365 deployments, and he's got a couple of secrets as to how he makes money. I'll tell you, one of them is he basically uses college students and grad students at a lower labor rate to kind of match the reality, the economics of cloud services. And so he's going to talk in the first hour on Friday. It's called Ben's Secret Sauce, just about to go up on the web. But, you know, Carl, we've got some real nuggets, man.
All right. Well, as always, I mean, you know, it's about the content. It's about giving people stuff that they can take back and make money with. So, you know, bread and butter.
yeah. And, well, don't forget yourself that, you know, You're leading, and I'm happy to be right there by your side with several classes that are kind of the business conversation and almost in a executive MBA format. But, you know, Carl, the idea that you and I can listen as much as we talk over the course of three or four sessions and really, you know, just ask the questions of the day. How does this work? How do I make money? Why am I here?
Well,
what am I doing?
You've mentioned in other forums it's a bit like the early days of SBS where a bunch of people got together and just chatted about the product. And I think that's kind of where we are with Office 365, that, you know, we're at that point of, okay, how are you using it and what are you using it for and how do you keep track of registrations and blah, 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 you know. And then people that we haven't scripted are going to educate the crowd. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, there's some people doing a fine job. So I guess that's, you know, in a nutshell, that's kind of it. You know, it's fresh, it's new, it's back at the old new venue. And by the way, the pacing of the enrollments is ahead of the last couple of years. So I'm really happy about that. That, Carl, it just seems that people are ready to invest forward and stop looking backwards. You know what I mean?
Thank goodness, because 2008 was a great conference and a very painful year economically, and I'm so glad to have that so far behind us.
Yeah. You got it.
Very good. Well, thank you, sir. We've got plenty of time before SMB Nation, but folks need to jump on it right now, get the airline tickets, and get their reservations in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for having me on, sire, and always a pleasure. Appreciate it. And look forward to the link off. I'll make sure we get that out to the community.
Very good, and thank you for your time.
And now for our Oddballs segment with resident oddball Amy Babinchek sharing multi-point tips.
Hi, this is Amy with Harbor Computer Services in Third Tier. From the mailbag, we have a question about multipoint. Now, I've been using multipoint for a long time, but some folks haven't heard of it yet. We only have a short time, so let's cover what it is, what it isn't, and why you might choose it over a regular old terminal server. Multipoint is a Microsoft product that released its first version in 2010. There was a 2011 version, and now there's a 2012. If you haven't heard of it, then it's because they market it exclusively into education. That doesn't mean you can't buy it. It's in the regular old channel through your distributor and other people that you normally buy your server licenses from. It's regular terminal servers squeezed into a single box with some added tools built in. That's what multipoint is. The added tools are the thing that makes it worth looking at. It's got an out-of-box experience that will let you go from clicking the executable to install it to a working terminal server in under 30 minutes. It doesn't require that you set up a gateway, a broker, or even a licensing server. It's an all-in-one deal. Heck, you don't even need a domain. Multipoint can stand alone as your only server in a workgroup. It runs incredibly efficiently with minimal hardware investment, unless you're going to do virtual desktops with it, which, by the way, it does support and has a sweet one-click setup wizard for. In that case, then you will need SSD drives in your server. It also supports two types of clients that regular terminal servers don't. It supports direct USB connections and USB over Ethernet zero clients. Those types of clients can save you big bucks because they're even cheaper than normal thin clients. It also includes two different graphical management tools. One of them helps you manage the server and its general settings, while the other graphical tool is for the person that will be managing the users. That tool has live thumbnails that lets you see what people are doing in near real time. From there, you can take control to assist them with something, instant message them with the built-in IM, open programs, close programs, blank the screen, send a message, and a bunch of other stuff. This management tool can be installed on any PC, or even within the manager's multipoint session itself. So that's what it is, what it does, and how simple a solution it is. But why would you choose it over a regular terminal server? Two scenarios come to mind. These are the top two scenarios in which I use multipoint. It's great for the sales department. A sales department typically has a sales manager that would love the management tool I just described. You can drop this server into any existing domain, simplify and standardize a whole department of people while providing them with new tools to make their business better. Second scenario, it's a great way to place a work group. Think of your typical four-person micro business set up in a work group. Install multipoint in work group mode, replace all those old PCs with zero clients. What have you done? You've centralized all the applications, the data, the backup, and the support into a single box. You've also enabled them to work from anywhere, and you did it all for less money than it would have cost them to replace those four PCs. In my business, we're deploying lots of terminal servers, both multipoint and standard terminal server. I think of it as an enabler. It makes BYOD work from anywhere, anytime, from any device, while maintaining corporate standards. Last question last. Are we going to get these multipoint features in regular terminal server someday? Beats me. But I do know that the enterprise looks at little old multipoint and drools.
And now for today's news brought to you by NeoWin.net. Nokia's Here Maps will become available for all Samsung devices as the companies have entered into a licensing agreement. Samsung is a major player among the Android devices manufacturers, but it has been keeping its flavor of the operating system different from the pure Google experience since the very beginning. Now it seems the company will push this even further by giving an alternative to Google's mapping platform, which is the default map provider on Android devices. Here, maps are widely used by many manufacturers who develop devices based on competing platforms, such as Windows Phone and Firefox OS. However, Android devices, except a few, such as the Nokia X, feature alternate mapping solutions as the Google Maps service is deeply integrated into the OS. According to Nokia, HERE will be the default maps provider of the Gear S smartwatch, while other Galaxy devices can avail the application from the Galaxy App Store for free. Currently, the smartphone version of the app is in beta stage. The features revealed by the company include offline turn-by-turn navigation and public transport data of more than 750 cities in over 40 countries. Delaware has become the first U.S. state to pass the digital inheritance law. Currently, in most parts of the United States, if not all, when someone passes away, their possessions go to their family members in most cases. However, this does not include digital accounts such as email, Facebook, and Twitter. However, Delaware, the first state and one of the smallest, is changing that. They just became the first state to pass a digital inheritance law. Governor Jack Markell signed the Fiduciary Access to Digital Assets and Digital Accounts Act. This law gives heirs and executors of wills the legal authority to take control of a digital asset or device, just like any physical document or item. Other states have some provisions, but their scope is limited. Delaware is the first state to enact such a broad law. However, because Delaware is such a small state compared to states like California, it may take a state like California passing a similar law in order for the laws to be passed in other states. In addition, this will also affect the terms and conditions of certain services. Some companies, such as Facebook, may still alter their current terms in order to comply with the new law. Last week, details emerged of the Xperia Z3 Tablet Compact, Sony's upcoming mini tablet that includes some pretty impressive specs, including an 8-inch full HD display, Snapdragon 801 chipset, 3GB of RAM, and 4G LTE connectivity. The tablet will be one of the numerous devices to be launched by the company at this month's IFA trade show in Berlin, and is said to be the thinnest and lightest waterproof tablet in the world, according to 9to5 Google, which reports that it will be just 6.4 millimeters thick. Alongside that device, three new smartphones are expected to be unveiled, including the new Xperia Z3 flagship. The handset will reportedly feature similar internal specs to the Z3 Tablet Compact, including its quad-core 2.5 GHz Snapdragon 801 chipset and 3GB of RAM, along with a 5.2-inch triluminous display. Each month, the folks over at NetApplications keep tabs on the usage share of various operating systems based on their wide network of metadata. And seeing that the month of August is now behind us, we can now take a look at the usage share for desktop operating systems for that month. Based on the data, it appears Windows 8 and 8.1 have grown slightly in the number of users who are actively using the platform, while Windows XP has dropped roughly 1% during the last month. During that same period, Windows 7 usage remained flat, which means those who have left Windows XP have either gone to Windows 8 or possibly to rival platforms. It is important to remember that these figures represent usage share of devices that are connected to the web only. Microsoft will surely be pleased by the fact that XP has dropped and that Windows 8 is on the rise, but with Windows Threshold right around the corner, it will be interesting to see if Microsoft is able to make a dent in the Windows 7 portion of the pie. The world's slimmest and lightest Windows phone is to be shown off at the IFA. Since Microsoft dropped its licensing fees for Windows Phone earlier this year, a wide range of manufacturers that had previously avoided the platform have flocked towards it. A long list of brands including Lenovo, LG, ZTE, Prestigio, Blue, Micromax, and many more will soon be releasing new Windows phones, and some have already unveiled their upcoming devices. One such manufacturer is Yez, which revealed its first Windows phone at the Computex trade show back in June. That device is called the Billy 4.7, which the company named in honor of Bill Gates. Yez claims that the device will be the world's slimmest and lightest Windows mobile, and it will be making its first full public appearance at IFA in Berlin later this week. The device is expected to go on sale in Europe, Latin America, and the United States later this year, priced around $249. Google's self-driving cars have hit a snag at the DMV. Earlier this year, Google unveiled a brand new self-driving car that was unlike anything we have seen before. The cars were completely automated and lacked basic features like a steering wheel and brakes. But for the state of California, this presented a problem. The concept was simple. Google wanted to create a transportation pod that did all of the work for you. While Google has shown that its cars are quite safe, and they have gotten quite good at building autonomous vehicles, the problem is for the outlier scenarios. The state of California DMV has told Google that its cars must have basic controls so that in the event of a machine going rogue, the occupants are able to take control of the vehicle. In short, the car needs to have a steering wheel and a brake pedal. The vehicles that Google showed off were still in the prototype stage, which means that the company still has time to comply with these features before the cars start mass production. There are few who doubt that the future will likely include autonomous vehicles on the road, as you can imagine how much more you can get done if you didn't have to think about driving to work. Not to mention, autonomous vehicles, in theory, should be able to reduce accidents and traffic jams. While a full-scale deployment of driverless vehicles is still many years away, the day that they do hit the roads outside of testing scenarios is not all that far off. Later this month, Apple will be holding a press conference where it is expected that they will announce the iPhone 6 and likely an iWatch 2. One of the expected features of the new phone is that it will support NFC and a new payment service from Apple. According to Recode, who has been leaking all sorts of stuff about Apple's upcoming products, American Express has signed a deal with the Cupertino company to support the new payment system. What Apple is likely to introduce is that by using NFC on your phone, you can use your device to pay for goods and services at retail outlets without having to swipe your credit card. With NFC built into the phone, you can simply tap it on a POS terminal, possibly Apple's new iBeacon, which is linked to your credit card. The concept is not new by any means, but for the most part, it has not taken off in the United States. With Apple selling hundreds of millions of smartphones with a common payment platform, they could be looking to become a serious player in the payment industry. For Apple, it will be important for them to sign deals with all of the major credit card companies so that the adoption of the platform is a simple process for the consumer. Seeing that American Express and, as previously reported, Visa have already signed deals, there are only a few companies left to join the platform to make it complete. I'd like to thank NeoWin.net for today's tech news. Carl's brand new managed services operations manual is now on official sale in both digital and paperback versions. The manual is an ultimate MSP how-to guide. There are four separate books in the set, covering front office mastery, employees and internal processes, running your service department, and support and service delivery. It is an exceptional group of books for MSPs. To check out more information about the books, visit sop4smb.com. That's SOP, the number 4, SMB.com. Use the Odd Tuesday show coupon for 20% off on this or anything in the SMB book storefront. Just enter the words Odd Tuesdays on checkout to receive the discount. Don't forget, if you are not already following Carl's weekly newsletter chocked full of resources, blog article links, and special tech features, just visit carlsnews.com to connect. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us in our next episode, September 16th. We will be joined by Jeffrey Ponce from DataTail Solutions and one of our resident oddballs, Rayanne Buccianico. I look forward to seeing you then. Take care.